from the anvil Basingstoke, Dead Ringers.
You're listening to the Today programme, where the time is just coming up to the point where you have to take out a second mortgage just to afford the licence fee. Recently voted the world's angriest blind man for the third year running, Works and Pensions Minister David Blunkett is said to be furious with Channel 4's new digital channel, More 4. Mr. Blunkett joins me now.
They're not going to get away with this, Humphreys. No one makes Blunkett look a fool and gets away with it.
No, no one apart from that American publisher Bird and that blonde Tory estate agent who flogged a story to Max Clifford.
Exactly. No one apart from Posh Totty makes Blunkett look a fool and gets away with it. How dare that channel portray me in such an unflattering light? I'm demanding an immediate apology.
But surely the channel would claim that a very social secretary was simply...
Who said anything about a very social secretary? That's not the show I'm angry about. I'm talking about The Sopranos. Tony Soprano is obviously based on me.
Minister, with great respect... Hang on, you're David Blunkett, Minister, with no respect whatsoever. Mr. Blunkett, I don't really think that Tony Soprano is supposed to be you.
How can you say that? The similarities are striking. He's a bully. He's prone to irrational fits of violence. He's paranoid. He's sexually dysfunctional. And he's got his secret girlfriend pregnant. Tony Soprano is me.
But hang on. Tony Soprano has people killed who get in his way.
Right. Yes. Yes, forget everything I said. Sorry.
No. Go on, you were saying.
No, nothing. Move along. Forget.
Mr. Blunkett, I must really press it.
Excuse me, Nocte. Where's the nearest flyover to Broadcasting House?
People of Britain, thus is your vigilant sparrowhawk. The international community is sick of terrorism. We have taken every possible measure to prevent it. We have tried asking them politely to stop. Kofi Annan saw a terrorist in the street recently and did not even stop to say hello. Jack Straw left a less than favourable review on Al-Qaeda's website. But these people are enemies of freedom, and we really are going to have to do some pretty harsh stuff to them. That is why this week we have unveiled sweeping new anti-terror laws. This means that from next January, terror will be against the law. And those judges who complain that the law outlawing terror is too wide-ranging clearly have never opened their front door on a chilly October evening and been confronted with children dressed as Osama bin Laden demanding sweets. They would do well to remember that making other things illegal has transformed law and order. Before guns were banned, people used to shoot each other frequently in the course of armed robberies and so on. Now, such deaths are unheard of. Likewise, there has not been a burglary in Britain since it was outlawed in 1924. In fact, crime has more or less died out because nobody likes being in trouble. This is why I'm certain these new anti-terror laws will be the most powerful new tool in the war against terror, since David Blunkett passed the law against bad people and evil stuff and things like that in 2002. Thank you.
BBC Radio 4. You, Tarzan, me, Charlotte Green. The headlines again. Ken Clark has stated categorically this week that he's never taken cocaine. Not only has this bolstered his chances of becoming Tory leader, he's also just been unveiled as the new face of Chanel. And as the news sinks in here at the BBC that the licence fee may go up to £180, rest assured we at Radio 4 aren't letting the money go to our heads. Coming up later this week, on the food programme, Sheila Dillon investigates what happens if you eat caviar by the wheelbarrow full. Desert Island Discs, with that extra touch of authenticity, will be coming live from Tahiti. And on Round Britain Quiz, Wales and the North of England compete for the show's new prize. Wales and the North of England.
You're watching BBC One. Wow, you must be loaded. Time now for yet another series about reproduction and human fertility.
I'm Professor Robert Winston, a shrink-wrapped version of Tom Selleck. Recently, we learned that Tom Cruise's fiancée, Katie Holmes, is expecting their first child. Now, he's a Scientologist, which means that Katie will have to give birth the Scientologist way, with absolutely no painkillers and in complete silence. Well, of course, it's up to the individual. But my medical opinion, if I was forced to give one, is that she is completely insane. No painkillers and then no screaming. Are you mental, woman? You're not having your toenails cut. You're pushing a full-sized baby out. A baby the size of a full-grown Tom Cruise. So run, Katie, run. Dump the stumpy, toothy, alien-obsessed freak and come over to England where you can set up home in my generously proportioned moustache. He'll never find you there.
And now, episode 5 of our afternoon play, the number one ladies' detective agency. The drama department is very excited about its authentic African flavour, but then again, they all felt just the same way when they saw Lenny Henry saying the word Katanga on Tiswas. Episode 5. Mara Motswe is scratching her knee, and a man has opened the door.
I have come to your detective agency, Mara Motswe, because I have a problem that is very great. You might even say that it is a great problem of much greatness.
That is a good reason to see a detective, Ra. Great problems are best solved by detectives. Unless they are not the right problems for detectives to solve. Then someone else should solve them.
Often I have heard people say that Mara Motswe, she is very clever. And I have heard other people who say that Mara Motswe, she is very wise. I have noticed they say one thing or the other.
Oh, yes. Yes, Ra, I have noticed they say both of these things.
That is a very good observation, Mara Motswe. You are very wise and very clever for noticing how often it is mentioned how very wise and very clever you are. I, too, have noticed that people say you are wise and clever. That must mean that I am very wise and clever, too.
No, it does not.
Why is that?
You are a supporting character, Ra. And when you do it, you are simply a man noticing the bleeding obvious. I am the central character. When I do it, everyone says how wise and clever I am.
And why do they say that, Mara Motswe?
I notice many things as a detective. I notice that hair grows out of the head of a man. I notice that the giraffe, she eats from the top of the tree. I also notice that if everyone says I am wise and clever enough times, the writer can get away with me not doing anything wise or clever at all. Which pleases him, because wise and clever sounds like very hard work for a writer who wants to knock this stuff out in an afternoon.
That is so. You are very wise and clever to notice all these things, unlike me.
Oh, yes, Ra. That is why I am the detective.
Yes, a very wise and clever detective.
That was episode 5 of the number one ladies' detective agency. Join us tomorrow when Mara Motswe notices the paint on her door is flaking and wins the Nobel Prize for Physics.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. God speaks to me as well. He tells me what to do. In fact, it was him that told me to bury Peter Donaldson up to his neck in Libby Purvis. It was his idea to set light to quote-unquote, and it was him that told me to give Melvin Bragg a Chinese burn. Nothing to do with his arm. I simply poured red-hot sweet and sour sauce into his hair. Oh, yes, God tells me what to do, and I listen. Of course he doesn't. What a ridiculous notion. I tell him what to do. We have a special relationship. And over the years, I've made him do some very bad things to humanity. For instance, who do you think it was came up with the idea of sprouts? Not God, me. He's not that vindictive. And wasps, my idea. McHucknall? Actually, that one was a joint effort. It was my idea to give him ginger hair, though. It was the evil icing on the cake. Oh, yes, God will be fine just as long as he remembers who's in charge. BBC Radio 4, amen.
Beauty.
Hi there, how are you? It's Dale here. Look, I just want to make a quick appointment. I love the name of your hairdressing salon. This is the one in Basingstoke, is it?
It's in Basingstoke.
What I want to do, I'm filming a commercial for pork luncheon meat. And they're just saying I'm looking a little bit too young, a little bit too dark-haired, and a little bit too all-over gorgeous. So, is it going to be possible? What would be the procedure to just dye my hair silver? So I can be a bit more of a Werther's Original type bloke for this pork luncheon meat commercial.
I've got no idea.
Do you think it's scientifically possible?
I think you'd have to ring in.
Well, that's what I'm doing, you nana.
Nah, you can't speak to me. The best thing to do is to talk to Laura tomorrow.
Laura tomorrow?
Yeah.
Be funny if her name was Norda, wouldn't it? Then she'd be Laura Norda. You can tell I'm a game show host for things like this, you see. So, book us in. And what are the people of Basingstoke like?
They're all right, I suppose, mate. They're not too bad.
What a torrent of enthusiasm. We'll see you tomorrow, darling.
Cheers, darling.
Bye, sweetheart.
You're watching BBC One. Following the success of Green Green Grass, the BBC has decided to shamelessly milk the idea by creating another spin-off sitcom from another of its hit series.
To tell you the truth, sir, all the staff here on the farm were a little worried when we heard you were buying the big house, what with you not being from around these parts. So, what are your plans for the estate?
Exterminate!
Fantastic! Oh, that really is a weight off our minds. Sounds like you're a proper country folk at heart.
Oh, hello, you must be the new owners of the manor. Welcome to the Morris Dancer Inn. By the way, I'm the publican, Dave Cliche. What can I get you this evening?
Exterminate! Exterminate! Exterminate!
3 pints of old exterminator coming right up. Nice to see someone who appreciates the local cider, sir.
And you won't believe what happens when the Daleks try to milk a cow. Or when they buy a new bull. They exterminate it. Oh, just like they do with everything else on the farm. Oh, well, if you think that's limited, just wait until Uncle Albert's ashes move to the Cotswolds.
You're watching Channel 4. Don't forget our new digital channel, More 4. What could be better? More Channel 4. But first, with another episode of our spooky plane crash drama, Lost.
Jack, we need to talk. This is serious.
What is it, Kate?
I don't want to alarm the other survivors, but I've checked the supplies, and we're running low on the one thing we can't survive without.
Fresh water?
No, flashbacks. There's only about 3 more left. Without flashbacks to pad each episode out, we may be forced to erect some kind of basic plot.
Jack, Kate.
What is it, Saeed? Have you somehow solved the island's most inexplicable mystery?
No, I still can't work out why 34 of the 48 survivors never say anything. Or why Mary never mentions what happened to the other hobbits. But I have at least worked out what we are all doing here. It was no accident us crashing here. We were lured here on purpose.
That's crazy.
No, it is not. The clues are all there. What cargo was the plane carrying?
Gramophone records.
Thousands of recordings of Bach, Beethoven, and Eleanor Rigby by the Beatles. Well, What does that have to do with us ending up on a desert island?
Welcome back to X Factor. I'm Kate Thornton. Take a little bit of Cat Deeley, add in some Zoe Ball, and it still gives you no idea what a bad host I am. It's crunch time again for one of our contestants as they wait to hear from the judges whether their lifelong dreams of stardom have been dashed, as they're still in the running to win the X Factor. Sharon is breaking the news to the over-24s.
Tony, you know I've liked you right from the start. You can't sing, you can't dance, but by God, you can hug. But there are only four places left, so this has been a very, very tough decision.
I understand that.
Tony, you are definitely not going to leave this programme until you've got as far as you possibly can go. Tony, Tony, you are in my prayers. And that's why you are out and out. Still my favourite person amongst some of the others left. Because of your never-say-die attitude, which is why you're going through absolute hell right now as ITV extends out this bit of the show in such a stupidly extended way that I can tell you that you're leaving us today in no doubt of your ability.
What? So am I in or out?
Sharon's not putting it very clearly, is she, Tony? You are definitely leaving us with a very difficult decision. I can tell you for a fact, you are in for a real surprise when you discover what we've decided today.
Sorry?
Talk about slow on the uptake. Louis, tell this idiot if he's in or out.
Tony, you're in the final.
Sorry, I can't understand what you're saying, Louis. It must be the Irish accent.
My fellow apostrophes. This week it has been widely reportified that I said that God told me to invade Iraq. I did indeed say God told me to do it, but I misspelled it in my head. Dog told me to do it. I did kind of wonder at the time why he kept jumping on me and wagging his tail. But then, as my Sunday school teacher used to tell me, God keeps his shoes in mysterious trays. Who in his impotent vision created the earth in 6 days? On the seventh day, he got arrested. But rest Ash Wednesday. I know the difference between God and dog. Dog is man's best friend, and God is our all-skiing creator. Watches over us with King Kong in heaven. God bless Lassie.
Every reader of the Daily Paper is in for a special treat, as all this week we're not giving away a free comedy DVD.
That's right, so for at least one morning you won't have some ancient old episode of Keeping Up Appearances dropping out unexpectedly onto your lap at the breakfast table and impaling itself into your low-fat spread. Heaven!
That's right, no classic DVD sealed in a plastic wrapper especially designed to be impossible to open unless you use your teeth. Not featuring these legends of comedy.
Here's a magic trick. Have you ever seen a free DVD turned into an extra drinks coaster? Just like that.
Yes. No useless piece of plastic falling out of your paper.
That's no way to speak about little Anne. Oh, yes. No Morecambe and Wise sketch you've seen a trillion times before. We've danced with Angela Rippon so many times, the poor girl's now got shorter legs than Ern. Oh, yes.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Brian Perkins. Did you hear about that warehouse fire at Aardman Animations? That's the last time Morph messes around with my pencil case. And now, before the news, here's Laurie Taylor to tell us about this afternoon's Thinking Aloud.
Well,
Well, I could, I suppose, but I don't really see the point. The chances of any of you having the mental capacity to appreciate it are frankly extremely remote. No, dear, you probably won't understand that. Me, very clever. You, very stupid. Me and clever friends discuss ramifications of anthropological ethnography. You write home truths about Eccles cakes, comprende? Good. That's thinking aloud at 4 o'clock. But not for the likes of you, dumbass.
Hello there. Hello there. Where have I phoned up?
The car wash.
Oh, I phoned up the car wash?
Yep.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Listen, I don't mean to bother. It's Kofi Annan from the United Nations. And I just wondered if there's anything you want me to sort out for you.
I could do a couple of $100,000.
Well, you know, I can't sort that out for you.
You just said you could sort anything out, that's why I can't sort that out.
Well, hang on a minute now, don't get excited. If you master your impatience and you work hard and you wash a lot of car and you make the road nice, because all the soapy water drip on the road and wash that too, but if you do that and you're patient, then you'll get £100,000 of money.
Oh.
And it might have gone up then as well, so you get more for it, so
okay,
you get more value. Right, okay, so we sorted that out.
Yep.
Anything else I can sort out for you?
No, there's plenty of things, but I can't think of any at the moment off the top of my head.
Now, I'll just do me list of things I can help to sort out for you. I can do a wise saying for you, or I can tell you a joke. I can make you a nice hot drink. I don't mind, I'm a smashing fella. Now, I'm going to give you a wise saying for free, okay? And that is, always have a good pair of shoes and always have a good bed. Because if you're not in one, you're more than likely be in the other. All right,
thanks,
Flower.
For that. See you now.
Phone United Nations if you need help with anything else.
I will do, don't worry.
All right,
thanks,
Flower.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye, okay, love. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, love.
BBC Radio 3. Quiet, isn't it? That, of course, was Shostakovich's second piano sonata. That was sublime. Do you know, someone once dropped a pin in this studio, and I damaged my inner ear with its brittle cacophony. Now, I've just been handed a note from my producer informing me that my program is now available as a podcast on the internet. You might think that I'd be opposed to this kind of thing. And, of course, you'd be wrong. No. Now, you see, I wholeheartedly embrace leaps forward in technology. For instance, I've just bought myself a wind-up gramophonic machine for use in my home. It's a marvellous invention. Of course, that has meant I've had to let go my 30-strong lounge orchestra. And I can't say that it hasn't been a wrench. I've grown quite attached to some of them over the past few decades. Particularly Stuart on the clarinet. Still, I hope the soothing tones of Debussy emanating from my front room cheered them somewhat as they trudged off wearily into the cold, dark night. BBC Radio 3. If it ain't quiet, don't fix it.
You're watching Newsnight with me, Kirsty Wark. I predict a riot, I predict a riot. More on that story later. But first, reports are coming in that earlier this evening, Nicholas Parsons was kidnapped by aliens during a performance of Just a Minute.
Clement, it's your turn to speak now. Can you speak for a minute without deviation, repetition, or hesitation on the subject of my favourite variety of apple, starting now?
My favourite variety of apple would unquestionably have to be the Granny Smith, though I would equally be as happy to munch my way through an orchard of Brabourne, Cox's Orange Pippin, Washington Red. Egremont Russet, Bramley, Crispin, John O'Gold Red, Winter Gem.
The emergency was compounded by the fact that aliens also vaporized Janet Staplehurst. And without a chairman to adjudicate and someone to blow the whistle, Clement is legally bound to keep going. He's been speaking for nearly 18 hours now. I'm joined now from their home planet by the aliens holding Nicholas Parsons. So why have you kidnapped him?
Isn't that obvious? At the end of the show, he always thanks those listening on Longwave, the World Service, even people who buy the tapes. But he's never so much as mentioned his millions of loyal listeners in the Andromeda Galaxy. We only sound this way because our voices have been distorted so as to sound the way you expect aliens to sound. In actual fact, everyone on our planet sounds like...
this, yes! It's true. We do, and we have perfected our vocal skills so that we can speak in these glorious, honeyed, sensorial tones on any topic in such a brilliantly inventive and mannered fashion that we possess the unrivaled skills necessary to...
repetition of ability, dear.
How dare you interrupt me when I'm in full flow?
No, get her!
Sorry we're just about out of time, but there's just time for me to say thank you to the aliens, thank you to Nicholas Parsons for being kidnapped, and of course thank you to all my many and varied viewers wherever you may be of this fine current affairs programme. We're indebted, of course, to Rupert Murdoch for creating the news, and to Jeremy Paxman for blowing his whistle to signal the end of each interview. It's just left for me to say please do join us the next time we play Newsnight. Good night.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers from the Anvil, Basingstoke. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry, Kevin Connolly and Phil Cornwell. It was written by Tom Jameson and Neff Fountain, John Finnemore, John Culshaw, John Holmes, Lucy Clark and Mark Watson. It was devised by Bill Dare. The producer is Katie Marsden.